Thank you. Thunderous round of applause for you. Good morning, y'all. How are you doing today? Good to be together again on this beautiful fall day. The temperatures got a little cooler on us, didn't they? But it's nice, and it's a beautiful day, and it's a good day to be together and worship God. And if you're a guest, we're very glad to have you with us here at First Mennonite. Hope you feel warmly received. I don't have a lot by way of announcements today. This week, it looks like a fellowship meal on Wednesday evening. And then we'll follow that with our Bible study on the Sermon on the Mount. And then after that, bell choir meets. And I think before that, at 4 o'clock, the deacons are going to meet. So deacons, 4 o'clock, and then the rest of that follows after that. Thursday is quilting, and circles meets here. And that's the extent of my announcements. What are y'all got? The announcements? There's one back there.
The Everinson newsletter, I think it's called a toolkit, is in your mailboxes. The second thing, please keep in mind that there still is about $1,500 in sharing fund grants that's still available through Everence. So in-house needs has first priority over other needs in the community. So if you know of anybody that needs something, now is the time to do it. It's at the end of October already, so we need to do this by November. December, but to make sure that there is money there in Akron, we need to take care of this as early as possible. If there are no in-house needs, I'll just talk to the, I hope this is agreeable with everybody, talk to the church board and just match what the church is giving away.
Next week is Meals on Wheels, so if there's somebody here who would like to help with that, I know they do once in a while. I think Glenn and Robin are going to be gone. And Aaron will be working. So we're a little bit short, but if there's somebody would like, yep, if there's somebody would like to help with that.
November the 16th, we are hosting the Mennonite Relief Sale representatives and the board, and I need cookie bars. I will put up a sign-up sheet before we leave next week, so those that could sign up and help with that, I'm asking like 24 from each person, and then whatever is left over, I think we'll bag up. Are we having a bake sale with our dinner, Amber, do you know? Whatever's left over, I think we'll bag up and we'll sell them at the bake sale with the dinner, if that's all right. Thank you. Oh, and also I would need some ladies to help clean up because after the meeting, I have a meeting. Then we'll be more than happy to help clean up too. Well, he can help a little. No, I have a meeting after the meeting, so...
Any other announcements this morning? Eric?
I'll just say something on behalf of the Pastoral Search Committee. We've been processing and discerning through some MLIs. We've made a few phone calls to a couple candidates already. There's still some more that we're wanting to touch base with, but we feel encouraged on where we're at and some of the candidates we've talked to. So just continue to pray for that process and let the Lord do his work.
Anything else? We have gathered to worship God this morning, so as we listen to the prelude, let's set aside distractions and prepare ourselves for worship. Let's join responsively from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, accept the praise of my mouth and teach me your ways.
Even if my life is at risk, still I will not forsake your principles.
Your statutes are my heritage. They are a joy to my heart.
My heart is pledged to the kingdom of your duties with your very hand.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Please be seated for the beauty of the earth. Let's pray together. Our wonderful God, we thank you for this day that you have made, that you have brought us to this place to worship you, that we can be your church, the body of Christ today. We pray, God, that our worship might honor you and glorify you and praise you. We pray that our lives might be transformed. We pray that in this time of worship, we might learn to be more faithful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift that he is to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear the seventh word. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall not commit adultery. Let us respond to the word from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord will bring you to the land of promise, a promise to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful to remember the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of oppression.
We will fear the Lord our God and serve God only. We make this vow in the name of the Lord.
Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's."
Obey my voice.
This morning is for our benevolence giving. May our offering be for us an act of worship and a sign of our lives dedicated to the Lord. Thank you. earth belongs to God, and everything in it also is God's. God, we place before you an offering. We bring an offering as an act of worship. We are offering ourselves because we know that even we, each one of us, belongs to you. Use us, God, that your kingdom may come and that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As we go to God in prayer today, we are grateful for God's work through Marie's surgery. Her surgery went well, and she is at home, and she is recovering, and also awaits further word on the surgery, but all signs are good at this point. And when I spoke with her, her voice is strong, too, so I know that was one thing she was concerned about. But her voice seemed to be just like Marie's voice is supposed to be. So we're grateful for that. Want to keep our pastor search committee in prayer as well today. Other things to remember in prayer?
Well, you're probably wondering why we walked out. They're transferring Shannon to Wesley. She has a massive blood clot in her leg, and they want to get it broken up before it causes any other damage.
I can give you a little more update on Marie. We had a birthday party in Wichita. We had to go to the hockey game last night, and we went for dinner, and Marie and Jeff were there, and she had dinner with us, and hollered some even. She hollered a little bit, not as much as the grandkids did, but she hollered a little. I think so. You know, she had a pretty scarf on, and she just has a little tape across there, so she's doing good. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Other things. We want to keep the people in Puerto Rico in prayer as they are rebuilding their lives. That's a difficult situation. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. God, you are the creator of life. You are the creator of love. You are the creator of this beautiful creation in which we are so privileged to live. You have created a community in your creation with so many different relationships, so many interconnections and interdependencies. And then we all depend on you. God, it is an amazing, beautiful community, your creation. And you hold it all together in covenant. A covenant of your faithfulness and of your love for your creation. We are so privileged to be part of your world. May this congregation also be a reflection of that beautiful covenant creation. And may the earth see you through us. We hold up to you, God, people who are on our minds right now. We are particularly mindful of Shannon. As she goes to Wesley, we pray, God, your healing power to her, to bring strength and healing to her body. To those who will be attending her, we give you thanks. And God, we pray for your comfort, your peace to her, and your work of healing to her. May she be surrounded by your spirit and by love. God, we pray too for Marie as she has had a wonderful news of her surgery. Thank you, God, for who you are there. And we pray, God, that your healing power might continue to work in her and in her spirit and her being. We pray, God, that she might continue to experience a fullness of recovery from her cancer surgery, that her voice might be preserved, that she might continue to praise you in song. We continue to lift up the Pastor Search Committee as well as they continue to do work, searching, God, for whom you are preparing for this congregation. Give them wisdom and discernment Give them persistence. And we thank you, God, for their willingness to serve and to lead this church in this time. And we hold up your world. We are particularly mindful of the people of Puerto Rico who are trying so hard to put their lives back together. We pray, God, that your call to be our brothers and our sisters' keeper might be one that we are mindful of. And pray, God, that you might continue to bring them together as they work to restore the land. God, we thank you for your church around the world, that we might be the living presence of Jesus in this world, and that people might see Jesus and know Jesus, and that we might be a reminder that you are Lord of all. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I invite the children to come forward for the change offering. And also, I believe Dale has the children's feature.
Good morning.
I think we're
I'm so that's okay. So glad you're here. Have you ever made a promise to someone?
I
think okay. Yeah, that's good. Has anyone ever made a promise to you? Like, your mommy says, I promise I'll wash your clothes and have them clean for school. She does that without saying it, doesn't she? A promise is something we tell somebody that it's about something we absolutely, positively will do. Okay? But when you make a promise, are you supposed to keep it? Yeah, you absolutely should. You should only make a promise that you intend to keep. Well, today's commandment is about respecting marriage.
Yeah.
People make promises.
We already know them because we have great things that know all about them.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about promises. People make promises every day. Sometimes we give something to a person. Have you ever had a necklace, Charlie, that you give half of it to a friend and your best friends? No? I've seen that. And sometimes we just sign a piece of paper to say that we promise something. Or we just give our word. Do you just give your word sometime? When you're going to do something, you give your word. Here's an ordinary letter like you receive in the mail every day. Probably. I mean, some days. What's in the corner? And what is that? A postage stamp. That's right. And when I bought this postage stamp and put it on the corner, the post office promises to deliver it to the person I put the name on. They'll do it when it's snowing or raining or hot or cold. They don't do it on Sunday, which they used to do. That's no good. But they promise to deliver this to whoever I write on here. And most of most adults have a credit card. And we put this in the machine and out comes a piece of paper. What do we do down at the bottom?
We
sign it, don't we? And that promises we will pay for what we bought. Well, grown-ups made a promise when they got married. They probably said something like this. Now listen carefully. Your mommy and daddy said this to each other. I promise to love you for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. A husband and wife promise to love each other forever, and what do they give each other? They give a ring. Is there any end to the ring? Is there an ending to the ring? Where's the ending? Doesn't it just go on forever and ever? And that ring means they will love each other forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. People make promises every day, but do they always keep their promises? Not always. But that's because we aren't perfect. We've all broken promises. And we have to ask for forgiveness, don't we? But God wants mommies and daddies to respect each other and honor each other by their words and their behaviors. When a man and a woman marry, you know what God told them? He said, you leave your fathers and mothers, and you cling to your wife or husband. Stand with them firmly and loyally and closely. And we try to keep that promise with God's help, don't we? All parents do that. Do you think God always keeps his promises? He always does. Wouldn't it be great if we could keep ours with his help? Let's pray. Help us. Thank you for being faithful in keeping our promises to God and keeping to your promises to us. And we just thank you that we have such wonderful families. Amen.
The first scripture lesson is from Genesis 1, 26 to 31. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The second focus is on Genesis 2, 18 to 25. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
1976. Jimmy Carter was running for president of the United States. And just before the election, Playboy magazine wanted to interview him. He had made no secret about his Christian faith, and they were curious. They were curious about how rigid, legalistic, self-righteous a Southern Baptist would be as president. And during the interview, Carter gave an answer. He said, the simple truth is, we are all saved by grace. Jesus set some almost impossible standards for us. He said, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery. Carter went on. He says, I've looked at a lot of women with lust. I've committed adultery in my heart many times. And with that, the political bottom fell out. Mockery followed, damage control kicked into full swing. Carter's poll numbers took a dive. Maybe this wasn't a politically smart thing to say, but for those of us who know well the teaching of Jesus and the almost impossible standards of his teaching, we knew that Carter was quoting Jesus, and we understood his point. We must be saved by grace. And the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery, is not nearly so easy to keep as we might like to think it is. Now, two Sundays ago, we talked about the sixth commandment, the sixth word, do not kill. Now, that's an easy one. No problem. I can do that. And then Jesus goes and messes things up. Ever been angry with someone? Ever hold on to that anger? Ever hold a grudge? Ever call someone a bad name? Watch out, he says. You are in danger of hell. Seriously? Jesus, seriously? Seriously in danger of hell. Okay, well, how about the seventh commandment? Do not commit adultery. Hey, no problem. I'm not going to do that. I'm not even tempted to. And then Jesus goes and messes things up again. Turns out, you can commit adultery even with no marriage involved. And even with no physical contact. Seriously? Jesus, seriously? Serious as hell. I guess maybe I do need to pay attention. So in Mark 10, we have the story of some Pharisees who come to Jesus with the same kind of clueless confidence. So Jesus, tell us, when is it legal to terminate a marriage? When can I end the marriage and still feel good about my standing with God? And Jesus says, seriously? Is that your question? By the way, notice who's doing the asking. Men. The ones who held the power, who owned the property, who had the family wealth, who had the legal right to end a marriage and still be okay while leaving the woman in a pretty desperate situation. So these men want to know, when can I send my wife packing and still be okay with myself and with God? Seriously? That's your question? What's legal? Jesus wasn't impressed. You are asking the wrong question. What is legal? What is legal? I mean, ask Britney Spears and she'll tell you that legally, you can be married for 55 hours and then get a divorce. That's legal. What's legal? Ask the Reverend Glenn Wolfe, Baptist pastor. He was married 29 times. 24 of them ended in divorce. And his last wife herself had been married 23 times. It's all legal. In fact, adultery itself is legal in most states. It's legal to have affairs. Now, in Kansas, it's not legal. It is a Class C misdemeanor. Hardly the fire of hell. And if a couple wants to spend their weekends hosting swinger parties in their house, they can do it. It's legal in most places. So the Pharisees want to know from Jesus, what's legal? And Jesus isn't impressed with their question at all. So he takes them back to the beginning. back to the beginning. What does God desire? Let's start there. In the beginning, as God created, as God formed the relationships of creation and bonded them all together in a covenant, and in that context, formed the covenant of marriage. In the beginning, what was God's design? What was God's purpose? What was God's hope? Let's start there with God's hope, with God's expression, how this covenant can fit into the greater covenant of creation. And that's where Jesus took these guys, and that's where he takes us too. Now, before I get any further in this, I just want to say, first of all, this is not a sermon about same-sex relationships or same-sex marriage. Okay? Either for it or against it. This is a sermon that is seeking to begin to lay down a foundational biblical theology of sex and marriage. Something that I believe that has been sadly and sorely and harmfully lacking in this ongoing destructive argument that we're having in the larger church, where instead what we've been doing is beating each other up with Bible verses and Jesus quotes rather than starting our work with a common biblical theology of sex and marriage. Regardless of where a person might be on the issue of same-sex relationships. And this is what Jesus does here now in Mark 10. In the context of these Pharisee men asking about the traditional male-female marriage in a male-dominated system and seeking divine permission for divorcing a wife. And Jesus takes them back to the beginning. Jesus says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one. They are no longer two, but one. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus starts with Genesis 1, verse 27. God created the human in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, God created them. So what's going on here? 3 points I'll make. First, the maleness and the femaleness in forming the image of God. Mutual, interdependent, reciprocating, equal, completing wholeness. This question by these Pharisees' men about when God permits them to divorce their wives is out of line. From the creation, maleness and femaleness is on equal and mutual footing. Interdependent for completing the image of God. The fact that these men even believe that it is their right to ask this question puts them out of bounds. In the beginning, God created them male and female. Second, the covenant of marriage is holy and sacred. Verse 28, part of God's created order in the covenant of the creation. So this isn't just about two people falling in love or falling out of love. This is a covenant relationship that reflects and mirrors and expresses the larger covenant relationships of the whole creation. The image, the reflection, the expression of God's faithful covenant with us. No wedding is about two people who have fallen in love. It's much bigger than that. And third, This covenant relationship is within the creation network, within the creation community of covenant relationships. And it forms the crucible, the security, the loving, nurturing crucible in which the next generation can be protected and nurtured and raised. Covenant forms the crucible for this security and securely raising the next generation. And then Jesus moves on to Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. Now, what's going on here? 3 points I'll make again. First, males, females, they are of the same flesh. In Genesis 2, the woman is drawn from the man. So she is separate and distinct. The one becomes the two before the two become the one. They are the same flesh, yet distinct and equal. Second, they form a covenant in this mutuality, joining their lives together so that they become one. So the two do become one again. And this isn't simply a physical act. What this is talking about here is intimacy. It's about bonding. It's about oneness. It's about once again having a covenant that reflects the larger covenant creation, reflecting God's faithful covenant with us. You know that song by Paul Stuckey, the wedding song, where he sings, "Woman draws her life from man, then gives it back again." That's intimacy. That's profound, covenanted intimacy. And the third point I'd make, this is a covenant for life. This is what makes intimacy possible, that kind of covenant for life. The intimacy of oneness, special only to them and shared with no one else, that is possible, only possible, because of this covenant of faithfulness, exclusiveness, pledged for a lifetime. That's what gives intimacy a chance in the first place. So you see, there is secular legal marriage. We have that. It's in the legal code. And there is marriage of God. God's hope, God's desire, God's design. A covenant in God's covenant of faithfulness. And these two are not the same. They never have been. And even something so common, so typical, so everyday as lust. Turning your gaze, turning your thoughts, turning your heart upon another to possess. Even that silent desire undermines the God's very desire and hope and design for this intimacy. Jesus says that even that undermines the exclusive claim of this faithful covenant together. And now suddenly, do not commit adultery. Just doesn't seem so easy anymore. In fact, the commandment is about me, and it is about you, and it is about all of us. So what about divorce? That's what the Pharisees wanted to know in the first place. What about their question, when is it okay to get a divorce? No doubt, we all know situations
where it just seemed like divorce was the only way forward. There were just no good answers. Or maybe we know of marriages where one tried so hard to make it work and it just wasn't going to happen. Or maybe we know of marriages where it seemed right from the very start, God really had no part in joining the two together. We all know of these situations, and maybe we've even lived them. But even so, that being our reality, let's not convince ourselves that that is God's hope, that that is God's desire, that that is God's design for his covenant of marriage. God hoped, God desired for something better for us, something different for us, a covenant of faithfulness, intimacy, mutuality, love for a lifetime that reflects God's faithful covenant with us. So it's for that reason that Jesus also speaks about divorce when he speaks of this big umbrella of adultery. You see, the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery, well, it sounded so easy. It's not a problem. I can do that. And suddenly it ain't so easy. It's talking to me. It's talking to you. And praise God. Praise God for grace and forgiveness and repentance and resurrection and new life starting over again, because we all need it. Pharisees want to know what's legal. What's legal? Where can I draw the line and walk up to it but not cross it and still declare myself in bounds? And Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question. The right question is this: what is God's best for you? In the beginning, what is God's hope? What is God's desire? What is God's intention for you? What would God's faithful covenant with you desire for you? For us as men and women? For faithfulness in this covenant called marriage? Aim for that. Aim for the best. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we remember and we treasure this seventh word to us. At a time when our maleness and femaleness seems to be grounds for mistrust rather than completion. When marriage and family seem to be in jeopardy and under great stress. When the notion of covenant just seems antiquated, or at least peculiar and unnecessary. We now remember. We remember, God, that we are birthed within a faithful, loving covenant of you to us, and we to you, and the creation as a whole together. And it is in covenant, a faithful covenant of love, that you bring our salvation and you bring our hope. May we live that way today as a reflection of who you are. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Will you let me be your servant? Number 307, and we will stand as we sing.
Will you let me be your servant?
under God's banner of the faithful covenant. Hold one another in love and faithfully go forth to serve the Lord's creation. Amen.